Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now, Saturday morning, 94 WIP. Ray, this is a very part of the show I always look forward to now. This Week in Philly Sports History, brought to you by Scheib Vintage Sports. By the way, this was your idea. When we started talking to the Scheib people, it's like, let's do a feature. What can we do? And Ray said, let's do This Week in Philly Sports History. And it has been a pleasure, Ray. I'm the one that researches, what are we going to do? And I have a lot of fun just, figuring out every week what it's going to be.
Yeah, well, the thing is, when you have a week like this, where every team in Philadelphia loses.
Yes.
Day after day after day after day.
It's a bad week,
This gives you an opportunity for at least one day during the week to go back through history. And if you go back, if you have enough history, you can find one good play, okay? And so that's one of the things. It's moments like this that just kind of keep us going.
Well, Ray, I found one great play, which occurred in one great season, by the way. Check out ShibeSports.com for the new book, The Philadelphia Eagles, which traces the team's history through a unique collection of photos. And I'll bet you there's one from this one, Ray. I'm going to go back to 2004, Monday Night Football, Eagles-Cowboys. You remember this game? This was the game that Terrell Owens was caught on camera jawing with Donovan McNabb on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry, it was the week after.
That was in Pittsburgh.
Yes, the week before they lost to Pittsburgh. 27-3, they got drubbed. And Owens and McNabb got into the thing on the sidelines. Eagles kind of needed a bounce-back game. If it was going to be here, they go to the Super Bowl. In the second quarter, the Eagles have the ball. Let's take it from there.
Back goes McNabb. He steps up. He's being rushed. He gets away from one man. Dashes to the outside. Still rolling. Comes back to the near side. Otto Randall Cunningham against Buffalo. Pumping. Loading up. He is firing it deep. And it is caught by Freddie Mitchell down at the 15. Freddie Mitchell.
All right, a lot to unpack there, Ray. First of all, a great call by Merrill.
Yep.
One of my favorites because Merrill gives you what's happening the entire time and invokes the Randall Cunningham versus Bills play.
Right.
As he scrambles, which is a great kind of recall by Merrill in the middle of a play.
Right.
And then second of all, Ray, I'd like you to kind of describe the play.
I don't know that I can describe it much better than Merle did. I mean, I think somebody timed it, put a stopwatch on
14
it.
Seconds.
I was going to say, I think it was 14 or 15 seconds.
Yeah, 14 seconds.
From the point where he takes the snap to when he releases the ball. I mean, that's pretty amazing. You don't see many pass plays that extend that. Talk about extending the play. That's the definition of extending the play. He went back. He went from one side to the other side to the other side. And finally, he just let it go down the field and hits Freddie Mitchell, who makes a really good catch for a monster game in a game that the Eagles really throttled the Cowboys. And if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I got the score.
I think that was the night that the Terrell Owens,
yeah.
Nicolette Sheridan.
Yes, sir.
Skit ran in
yes.
the, on the pregame that turned into a big NFL FCC kerfluffle.
Yes, correct.
The rest of that week.
Correct. It was so much fun that year. That was the Super Bowl year that they lose to the Patriots. That night they beat the Cowboys in Dallas 49-21.
Right.
As we said, bouncing back from a loss to Pittsburgh the week before. The Pittsburgh loss was the only one they had till the end of the year when they started not caring about it. They go to 8-1 and they let kind of the world know, they're a Super Bowl contender this year.
Yeah,
it was so good.
I think you kind of knew that early on. I mean, you knew when they got Terrell Owens added him to the offense, they were going to be a whole different offensive team. Because you knew the defense was already really good. The defense was already well in place, and they were going to be a championship-level defense. What everybody had known for years, and which just exasperated us terribly, was this was a team that had a good offensive line. They had good running backs. They had a real good defense, a great kicker. They had no receivers. I mean, how could you construct your offense this way? If you draft Donovan McNabb number one overall with the idea that he's going to be the key to your offense, then how do you not get him better receivers than what they got him? Finally, after losing in the championship, getting close.
It was Thrash and Pinkston, and I'm trying to remember the names of those other forgettable guys.
Reggie Brown.
God, yes.
Those guys. And, you know, you're just trying. And Andy had such belief in his system that he could draw up plays that even average receivers could get open.
Receivers are fine. I remember him saying that in a news conference.
Yeah, and he had that much belief in his play design that I can win with these guys. Well, yeah, I guess you can. You can get so far, but you can't win a championship with those guys. You need to go out and get the guy. And that year they went out and they got Terrell Owens, and when he came in, obviously everything changed.
Oh, it changed the landscape entirely. By the way, Freddie Mitchell was a first rounder. They never drafted receivers well. Who's the last receiver they drafted well? Fred Barnett, I guess?
Freddie, yeah.
I mean, we're going back. We had Fred on Tell Us Your Story, and Fred is comfortably retired living in the Caribbean.
Right.
They must have had a successful receiver they drafted since then, but it's sure not top of mind for me.
Well, DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, okay. There you go. DeSean Jackson. Second round. Yeah, that's a good second round.
And Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah. Not great, but okay.
Better than okay.
No, no.
Look at his numbers.
I know. For a first rounder, it was okay. Anyway, okay. I'll go with you on that. But Freddie was a guy who was so infuriating because he could have a big play like this.
Right.
Or the, you know, I'm thankful for my hands catch in the playoffs.
Right.
And then he would disappear for half a year.
Yeah.
But he would always tell you how great he was.
Oh, yeah, right away.
He's a pain in the ass.
I thought he was way overdrafted as a. I didn't think he was a first round guy. I was frankly shocked that the Eagles took him in the
first
round.
And he went out and ate In-N-Out burgers with him in California.
Yep.
Remember that whole story?
Yeah.
And fell in love with him. Oh, because of the burgers.
Yeah, I think it was more the burgers.
Right. I'm having a great time. Give me animal style, gorilla style, whatever they do there.
Have you ever had In-N-Out Burger?
Yeah, once a while back. It was pretty damn
good.
They're really good. Thanks. Anyway, yes. And then Freddie got everybody angry before the Super Bowl because he said, that number 32, he's nothing. He can't cover me.
Yeah.
He gave them all the bulletin board material they needed.
Yes,
Not that
did.
They really needed it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Ike wanted to beat him up.
Oh, they all did. That week at Super Bowl week, that was so made to order for Freddie. You know, all the world's media there, and they're all looking for somebody that's going to say something dumb. And, you know, I mean, here you go out to Super Bowl, and, you know, all the people are gathered around Freddie. Because, you know, I mean, even though he's just Freddie Mitchell, who's hardly a key player, but everybody knew if you just talked to him long enough, he would say something.
He's going to chirp.
Yeah, and so, you know, so he's got 50 people around him, and you know, the real players have maybe three or four. Mm-hmm. But invariably, and it didn't take long, once he got out there, Freddie said something about the Patriots, something insulting about the Patriots, and of course Belichick used it to his advantage.
Yep. I ran into Freddie. He's still around here now. I ran into him at a golf tournament a couple months ago.
He is still around. I've run into him at a couple of events. Charming fellow.
Yeah. He and I chose not to talk to each other.
Ah, okay.
I think he knows what I've said about him on the air over the years, and I know what I've said about him, you know, so it would be disingenuous for me to give him a big, you know, COVID fist bump.
I suppose that's true, but give him his due. I mean, two of the more memorable plays in that era were plays he made.
Yeah, but that's...
Was that one and 4th and 26?
Yes, and that's not even including I'm Thankful for My Hands, right, which was the one that bounced.
Yeah,
was Minnesota. That against Minnesota, right?
Minnesota,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I think he scored two touchdowns in that game.
Yes, but that's more infuriating because the rest of the time he just stunk, so that he owns some of the great plays in Eagles history to me. It's like, no, you don't deserve to. You're Freddie Mitchell. You don't get that acclaim.
You're being a little harsh.
Well, Ray, come on now.
He did make the plays. Let's face it.
Well, yeah, right. Once every 2 years he would make a play, and now I got to see him in all, you know, he's one of the greats. Anyway, all right, enough with that. 215-592-9494. Best caller of the day gets a $50 Shibe Sports gift certificate. Let's go to Dan in Collegeville. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Well, gentlemen, how are you?
All right.
Good. Ray, I have a question for you, but Glenn, if I can get a quick Flyers question in, that would be great also if I have time. Mm-hmm. Ray, I heard what you said in response about, you know, Jalen Hurts and Sirianni not wanting to name him the starter. So he could, you know, have to earn the job. And I guess from my perspective, if this organization was a true meritocracy, for lack of a better word, you wouldn't have, like, I don't even know if you would have Andre Dillard or John Rager on the roster. So I guess I was curious, like, did you really believe that? Or, you know, to me it lends itself to just, like, the disarray in this organization.
Do I really believe what? I'm a little confused by your question.
Sure, that was the reason that Sirianni was non-committal to Hurts as a starter.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, because he kept talking about it's all about competition. We're all going to compete every day on the practice field. No job is nailed down. Everybody's competing for every job every time we go on the field. That was the ethos that he created for that training camp. And so it would have, you know, how do you sell that to everybody on the roster if you say, but Jalen's our quarterback, but every other position's up for grabs. He didn't want to do that. But I mean, there wasn't anybody who didn't know who the quarterback was going to be. I mean, he took every first team rep the whole training camp. So I mean, that's all you needed to know is if Flacco didn't take a first team rep the whole training camp. So it was there for anybody to see that he was the quarterback. But it would have run counter to the message that he was preaching. That's all.
Okay, and I'm fine with that. I guess to your point about it not. It's not the same story at the other positions. I find that to be counterproductive, but I do see what you mean. Glenn, real fast, I was just curious, with Ellis coming back, mm-hmm. what would you do with Justin Braun? I don't know if you really want to move your highest scoring defenseman. I understand he could just be,
I think it's going to take Ellis a while to work back into form. So I give Ellis, fewer minutes, the first couple games back, so I feel like I don't need to worry about that until I see that Ryan Ellis is playing as well as he can. Does that make sense?
Gotcha. Yeah. It does.
All right. There you go. Thank you. Yep. There you go. Ray, a couple Flyers questions today. How about that?
I like it.
Always nice to get.
That was a really big win because Carolina has been very good. I think that was their first home loss of the season.
I think it was. I think it was only their second loss of the season. Yeah. So I think that was pretty good.
Came from behind, scored two goals in the third period. There was a really nice play. Did you see the first goal? I mean, when Lawton shoots it into the zone, but caroms it off the backboard and hits Farabee on the fly, coming across the blue line, and he scores. I often wondered why, all the years I've been watching hockey, why guys don't do that more often.
Yes. Yeah. That is always a question.
Yeah.
Right. It's a smart way to do it.
If you have a guy flying on the wing, yep, and you know he's going to beat the defenseman, just shoot it off the end board, yep, have him take the carom and one time it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've often and give Lawton credit; he executed it perfectly, and Farabee buries the shot. But I've often wondered why guys don't do it more often.
Well, the Flyers scored two goals last night. It was enough to win, and here you go.
And to move it ahead to Lawton. Scott Lawton from the red line trying to bank play to Farabee. He's got him. He scores. Lawton with a bank to Farabee, and this game is tied at one.
There you go, Ray.
Yeah.
You mentioned it. Moshe's got it.
Great play.
It was a great play, and I agree with you. It's the kind of thing you should do more often.
Now, what do you think about tonight? Now, they're playing back-to-back.
Yeah, I know.
They go to Dallas tonight.
Yeah.
And Dallas isn't very good.
No.
It's Carolina. It's not that far. Do you go with the hot hand? Do you give Carter back to back, or do you go to Jones?
Now, I go with Jones because Jones has been very good also, and I want Carter Hart to be playing for me in the playoffs in May.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel like, particularly since I won last night, I don't feel like I got to overwork Hart. What about you?
I would probably do the same. Because Jones has been really good.
Yep.
I mean, every time they've played him, he's been really good. So, yeah, I would play it the same way. I was just thinking Hart was so good last night, and you're playing back-to-back. You want to stay with the hot hand.
It's not those days when you're starting goalie. Back in the day when you're starting goalie, would play 60 games a year. They split it more than they used to.
For sure they do. But you don't get that many back-to-backs, which is kind of interesting. But Jones has been very good every time they've gone to him, so I don't have a problem with that.
Now, Ray, our next caller, Matt, says, in defense of Freddie Mitchell.
Okay.
Who knew that that was going to become a debate topic?
Well, Freddie has his friends.
Oh. Well, I'm sure he has his friends. I'm not arguing that he's, you know, he's a bad guy. I just thought he was, well, I guess I am in a way. Matt, what's up?
Hey, I don't golf with Freddie or anything, so let's get that out of the way. I always thought, you know, Freddie was very boisterous in the locker room, and he was a little over-opinionated with Reed. I don't think Reed ever liked him, per se, and when he first got out, his route running was horrible, I'll give you that. But he did catch everything you threw at him, and when his route running got better, he was catching balls. He just wouldn't get him the ball. And
well,
it's funny that, like,
he wasn't open.
26, who did he go to, though?
Well, okay, that was one play. Freddie Mitchell played 4 seasons with the Eagles, which, by the way, for, you know, a first-round draft pick, only lasted 4 seasons, pretty bad. He had 90 catches in 4 seasons. That's 1 year for Terrell Owens.
But reinforcing my theory, Reed didn't like him. And let me just give you another example. Do you guys think Quez Watkins is a good receiver?
I did.
Yeah, it's a chance to be.
I hope so.
We don't know yet.
Do you see him at all?
What's that?
Do you see him at all? In other words, like in 2 years down the road, is Sirianni still the coach? Which that wouldn't that be something? But what are you going to say? Quez Watkins was a bust, or he doesn't get in the ball.
It's the same thing
with Freddie Mitchell.
All right, there's two things here. Quez Watkins is
he was a 6th-round draft choice. Freddie Mitchell was a 1.
Yeah, I know. I get the comparison. I think his biggest downfall was the fact he was drafted in the first round. But Reed buried him.
Well, why did Reed bury him?
Why would he bury him?
I think it was mostly his mouth.
Reed was so egotistical that
he doesn't like when you question his authority. I think he did that a lot.
Andy Reid would play him if he could play. Andy wants to win.
Who
games.
Questioned authority and had a bigger mouth than Terrell Owens?
Yeah,
he didn't have any problem playing him or getting him the ball. It all comes down to what you can do on the field. That's all.
So
coaches are very pragmatic about that. They'll put up with a lot if they believe that the guy can perform and help the team win.
So when you look at targets and receptions, right, I don't know this off the top of my head, but let us say that a good quarterback-receiver combination is going to be what, 70, 75% of targets to a receiver will be complete?
Yeah, it's probably in that range.
Okay.
A good one, yes.
Yeah. Freddie Mitchell, in 4 years, by the way, in 63 games, had 171 targets, which is less than 3 targets per game.
Mm-hmm.
And he had only 90 catches, which is just over 50%. So either McNabb was throwing inaccurately, which we've seen. I'm sure there's some worm burners in there. Or Freddie's just not getting open to get the ball,
mm-hmm.
which I think it was the biggest issue. Because his hands were good. I'm not saying he had bad hands. Just didn't get open.
Yeah, and didn't run the most disciplined patterns. I think that's part of it. He didn't always run the most disciplined patterns. And I don't know that I don't know that Donovan always trusted him to be where he was supposed to be at a given time. That has a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how disciplined the receiver is in running his routes, how much the quarterback can trust that he will be at this depth, at this moment, so that I can throw the ball on anticipation that he's going to be there. If you don't believe that the guy is necessarily going to be there, or he's only got a 50% chance of being there, then he might decide on his own, okay, I'm going to break it off and go this way. Quarterback's not going to take that shot because it can turn out to be an interception. You know, a quarterback's got to believe that the receiver's going to run the route as it's designed. If he doesn't fully believe that, then that's going to cut down on your targets.
I'm going to say this as delicately as I can because we just played a highlight, which was a phenomenal Eagles memory of a great season, and that Monday night game against Dallas where they score 7 touchdowns and Donovan does that amazing scramble and throws it 60 yards to Freddie Mitchell was just great.
It really was.
All that said, Freddie Mitchell stunk. Freddie Mitchell was a bust. Freddie Mitchell was a lousy player and a guy who they spent a first-round draft pick on.
Yep.
I rest my case.
Yep, overdrafted. He shouldn't have been a first-round pick. If the Eagles hadn't taken him, I don't think he would have been.
I would have dropped the mic here, Ray, except that we have more to say. 215-592-9494. Coming up, Ray Dinger goes to the movies. And, Ray, I have a secret surprise for you in the next segment, which
What's
is a great moment Great little vignette from TV and movie history of something that occurred on this day that I know you will enjoy. I promise you that.
Okay.
Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack, now brought to you by the Casino at Delaware Park. Watch and wager on all pro and college sports at the Delaware Park Sportsbook. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. Must be 21 to play.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're watching is sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay it off interest-free. Call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. Ray, I have been watching James Bond movies since I was a little kid, and I saw Thunderball and saw Ursula Andress and wondered why I was in love. Didn't quite understand why I was in love, but Ray, it moved me.
I'm sure it did.
And
most of the male population.
Yeah, but most was probably old enough to understand, like, why is this happening?
Right.
I have seen, 20, 30 James Bond movies over the years.
No, there haven't been 30 of them.
How many? Do you know how many there have been?
26.
There you go. All right, so my guess wasn't far off. I don't think I've missed more than one or two, but I have not yet seen the newest one, and Ray Dinger went to the movies.
I did. I went to see No Time to Die. I am not as faithful a James Bond fan as you are. I go to see some of them. Some of them I let pass by. But it was well touted that this was Daniel Craig's last go-round as Bond. And I really like Daniel Craig. I mean, next to Sean Connery, who I think will always go down as the ultimate James Bond, I think Daniel Craig has been the best of them. I really do.
Oh, you put him above Michael Caine, eh? Or not Michael Caine.
Michael Caine wasn't.
No, not
James
Michael
Bond.
Caine. Above, what's his name?
Timothy Dalton?
No.
Pierce Brosnan?
No, no. The other one. No, not Connery.
Connery's
the
best.
Connery's number one. The guy who did Roger Moore, excuse me.
Yo, he's way better than Roger Moore.
You think?
Yeah.
I liked Roger Moore.
Nah, he's a male model. I kind of felt the same way. I'm not even counting.
He's not a male model. Well, hold on.
I'm not even counting George Lazenby,
No, none of those guys. None of those. None, Lazenby, Dalton, none of those guys. Brosnan was okay. I put Brosnan 4. All right, Connery 1.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I still go Roger Moore 2. And Craig 3. I thought Roger Moore was really good.
No, I did.
Huh.
He
was suaver than Craig is tougher.
Yes, and that's exactly what Bond should be.
Well, I think Bond is like suave, surprising tough. Connery was suave.
And tough.
All right.
Connery looked like a guy who could pull off the stuff that James Bond was supposed to pull.
And you didn't feel Roger Moore could?
No.
All right.
He should be, you know, modeling clothes in a window downtown.
And then, wow, you really underestimate him. And,
yeah.
the worst James Bond was Lazenby, right?
He only did once.
Yeah, well, that's a
He only did once. I actually thought...
It's the one in the snow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where he marries Diana Rigg and she gets killed at the end. But that's
why you hated that movie.
Yeah, I sort of did. I held
that. Diana Rigg is your all-time crush.
She is. She is. And I probably have held that against Lazenby unfairly. I mean, he didn't write the script as far as I know. But in any event, that's a different movie in a different time. This is No Time to Die, and it is the 26th Bond film. And at 2 hours and 43 minutes, it's the longest. And trust me, you know it. It has all the things you would associate with, you know, with a Bond movie: charismatic leading man, the beautiful leading lady, a creepy criminal, exotic locations, great action sequences, daring stunts. I mean, all the stuff you associate with Bond, it's there. I think the Bond character has changed with Craig in the lead. There's not as much humor. There's not as much whimsy.
Exactly.
They make him a kind of a tough guy. He still gets the ladies, obviously. That's still part of the thing. But they've written the films a little bit differently, and there's not the old Bond movies, and this includes even your guy Roger Moore and Dalton.
Yeah.
And Pierce Brosnan. There was always kind of a wink and a nudge in the movie. It was always kind of a little bit on the whimsical side. You weren't necessarily supposed to take all of that action seriously.
So I liked it better.
Yeah, it's changed. I mean, now it's a more straight ahead secret agent kind of thing. It's far more violent. I mean, the body count is way higher than it used to be. And I think they feel like, and I don't know necessarily if this is a good idea, I think they feel like they try to have to keep up with Jason Bourne and John Wick and some of those other things. They kind of feel like Bond has to be, you know, he has to be every bit that what those guys are, which is Bond's character was never meant to be quite that. You know, he was never meant to be a professional assassin, necessarily.
Ray, it feels to me like you're arguing against yourself.
Well, I didn't tell you what I thought of the movie, actually.
Okay.
Some of the stuff in it, the photography is quite spectacular. The director is Cary Fukunaga, who has directed a lot of the old True Detectives. And this is kind of his graduation to the big screen and the big budget, and he really makes the most of it. There's a lot of money that was spent in making this movie, and it's all up on the screen. I mean, some of the car chase scenes through the mountains are really spectacular, and some of the stunts are really spectacular, as good as anything I've seen in Bond. But I didn't think that Rami Malek, as good an actor as he is, and he's an Oscar winner, I don't think he was a very convincing villain. I don't think he was very compelling. There's a huge spoiler in this one, which I am not going to even touch.
Okay.
Okay. If people haven't seen it, I'm certainly not going to throw the spoiler out there. But I thought the length of it was a problem. I thought it was interesting that they brought in Phoebe Waller-Bridge to help write the script, to help tweak the script.
And I'm in love with all of her stuff.
Yeah, well, Killing Eve and Fleabag, I know were
two of my favorite shows. Love those shows.
From what I read about it, they felt like the script was too grim. They felt like the script needed some wisecracks. They felt it needed some humor. And they brought her in to provide a little bit of that. And there are a couple moments of it, but they don't, to me, seem to work. They almost seem out of context.
Yeah, probably they did it after, and they're, like, you know, glued on.
Yeah. But I wish I liked it more. Mm. Like I said, the photography is beautiful. The scenery, the stuff, especially the stuff shot in Italy, is really beautiful. I think Craig is very good. I mean, Craig is really, really good as Bond. And I like the way, and I guess this is sort of tells you about our times, is the quote-unquote Bond girls have really changed. I mean, you know, it used to be, back in the old days, the Bond girls really were just arm candy for James. Mm-hmm. And now they're his equal. I mean, they're other agents that he leans on them to help him get out of scrapes and do things. So they've really empowered the women characters, which I think has been a good thing. And there are a couple really good ones in here. Bond retires in this one. He retires and he's living on an island in Jamaica and he's fishing and he's kind of... They've actually given away 007. They gave away his title in this and have given it to a woman agent. There's now a woman 007.
I don't like it. Not that I don't like a woman, but I don't like already that they gave away his thing. That's not right. He's James Bond.
Lashana Lynch comes in, and she's the new agent, and they've assigned her his number. It's true. She is now 007. But there's a woman actress named Ana de Armas who plays a spy who works along with him, who has a relatively brief appearance in it. But she is really good. To me, she's the highlight of the film, I really thought. And I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, I recognize her. And it occurs to me that she co-starred with Daniel Craig in the movie Knives Out, which I like very much. So she plays an agent, and she's very effective. The movie itself it just didn't work for me. I think the length of it was a problem. Again, I think Bond films, to me, they really need a great villain. And I don't think Rami Malek made a particularly great villain. And again, there's the ending, which I wasn't prepared for. I didn't know this was coming, and it sort of took me aback. So if you haven't seen it yet and you're a Bond fan, you probably want to go see it just to say on the record you've seen it. But I wish I liked it more. I'm going to give it just 2.5 out of 4.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Ray, in other news, I'm combining this segment, which is what we're watching, with our previous segment, which is This Week in Philadelphia Sports History.
Uh-huh.
Something momentous happened on this day that changed the world of entertainment. Are you ready to hear it?
Sure.
Here you go. Mosh.
On November 13th, Felix Unger was asked to remove himself from his place of residence. That request came from his wife. Deep down, he knew she was right. But he also knew that someday he would return to her.
November 13th. Now, that was a great stage play, which I have seen. By the way, we saw with Joe Conklin and our dear, dear departed friend, Big Daddy Graham.
Yes, indeed.
Who did a great job. Those two guys were great in that.
They were. Talk about good casting.
Yes.
Could there possibly be a better Oscar Madison than Big Daddy?
God bless. I miss Big Daddy so much. But yes, okay. So I saw that. It was a great movie with Jack Klugman and Tony Randall. I mean, no. See, look at that. Yes.
Walter Matthau.
Yeah, now I'm going to the TV show. Excuse me. With Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon.
And Jack Lemmon.
Yes, I got it backwards. The movie was with Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon, and it was great.
Yes.
It was great. And it was as good or better TV show with Klugman and Tony Randall.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really good, you know, what do you want to call it? Triad?
Yeah.
Triple Crown?
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to come up with a play that went on to become a movie, that went on to become a TV series, that was as successful in all three as that one was. And they took those characters, and they were able to extend it.
Yes.
For how many years did the TV series run? The TV series ran
a long time.
Yeah. I mean, they took that concept and those two characters, and they did wonderful things with them.
Yes, yes. And those two guys were great in those roles.
Klugman and Randall were great. They really were great.
Yes.
They were so good. Jack Klugman's a Philly guy. I know that.
Yeah, you know that. Yeah, yeah.
But that was really good. I love the fact that Klugman and the Oscar Madison was a sports writer. I just thought that was
yes. And one of the things I liked, particularly in the movie, is they actually had him at games doing stuff.
Yes.
You ever watch Everybody Loves Raymond?
I never saw it.
It's an okay show. It's a sitcom, and in the show, the guy plays a sports columnist for Newsday. Mm-hmm. You never once see him actually doing work.
Right.
And I always that kind of bothered me.
The funny thing about the. About the Oscar Madison character was he was a sports writer that had a secretary.
Yeah, I know that doesn't. I mean, what world is that?
That like never happens. And you know what? I have to. This sounds like I'm being overly sensitive, and perhaps I am.
You never had a secretary?
No.
All those days with a bulletin in the Daily News, Ray Dittinger.
No,
lead columnist.
There was one secretary who worked in the department, but she was not my secretary by any means.
There you go.
But at the same time. That this was in the 70s, okay? And you got Oscar Madison as this character whose main trait is slovenliness, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
His clothes are always dirty. His shirts are always ripped.
Right, sandwich on the floor.
Got the sandwich in one hand. He's got the wearing the baseball cap, smoking a cigar. At the same time, this is the era of all the president's men, right? So you got news reporters that look like Robert Redford. Okay, so the guys that work on the news side look like Robert Redford, and the sports writers look like Oscar Madison. To me, it just seemed unfair. I mean, we all work in the same business, right? I mean, we're all journalists, right? I mean, how does the one side of the newsroom look like Robert Redford,
yeah,
and the other side of the newsroom looks like Matthau / Klugman? That just always seemed a little bit askew to me.
Well, stereotypes, you know, and all that. But God, it was a great movie. The movie's still great. I caught it like 2 years ago, right? Because you never know if movies are going to age well.
Well, that's right? For sure.
Yeah, and there's some that, like, I remember, like, when my kids are growing up, like, oh, you got to watch this. This is a great movie. Watch this. And it would come on, and I know 3 minutes in, they're like, Dad, what are you telling me to watch?
Yeah.
And I go, like, yeah, it was better in 1979 than it is now, you know, but whatever.
Yeah. But those movies and that TV series, they both hold up. I was always a Neil Simon fan. I did like Neil Simon. I know he was not a critic's favorite. The critics used to rip him apart. I don't know why exactly. Maybe he wasn't a very nice guy. Maybe he didn't do interviews. I don't know. But critics always seemed to savage his plays. And I saw him being interviewed one time. He was being interviewed by James Lipton. Remember the guy that used to do Inside the Actor's Studio?
I love that show.
Yeah.
And he would just say, like, I'm going to say a word, and I want you to respond.
Yes. And
honeycomb. I don't know.
And he asked Neil, he mentioned to Neil Simon that, you know, the critics have been very tough on you over the years and have criticized your work, and you get, you know, the critics generally have given your work a pretty rough ride, and how do you feel about that? And Simon said, as far as I'm concerned, if the audience likes it, it's a good play. And I just thought, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because Neil Simon was a crowd pleaser. You know, I mean, the shows that he did,
he wrote for the masses. He didn't write for the critics.
Yeah. And that's what he said. If the audience likes it, to me, that's a good play. And I always thought that was a very, very sensible approach to the business.
Yeah, a lot of great plays he wrote. I'm with you. 215-592-9494. Ray Dinger, Glenn McNair. Ray, coming up. You know I'm an Aaron Sippis guy.
Yeah, I guess you do.
I know, but I do have to tell you, my heart wanders.
Uh-oh.
And you know I'm like I have an unnatural affection for kickers and punters.
Yeah.
Which most football fans just want to dismiss. Like, yeah, I know we need one. It's a necessary evil, but like, I don't care.
Even the players feel that way.
I know they do. I know. I remember it used to be, I don't think they do this anymore, in the locker room. Like, they were off in the corner away from, like, this is where the players are. And then there's the broom closet, and there's the kickers and punters.
Right.
Yeah.
It's still pretty much that way.
Well, okay. But I may have found the guy to change the world, Ray.
Really?
Yeah. Going to tell you about him. Might be worth a late-round draft pick.
Oh.
So. Anyway, Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now. 215-592-9494, brought to you by the Casino at Delaware Park. We're here at the 1937 Brewing Company, locally crafted IPA, stouts, lagers, and more right here at the 1937 Brewery inside Delaware Park, online at DelawarePark.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now, 94 WIP. Coming up at noon, tell us your story with Stan Walters. Ray, we had a really fun time with Stan. He's a great talker. He's a smart guy, and he's funny.
He is. He's really funny.
Can't beat that guest.
No. When I was covering the team for the newspaper, both the Bulletin and the Daily News, and I was the beat guy, so I was down there every day, I always stopped at Stan's locker. Always. I just wanted to pick his brain. You know, what was he thinking? And sometimes we wouldn't even be talking about football. We'd just talk about different stuff. But he's just a really interesting guy. You know, well-read, got a lot of interest outside of football. He had opinion. You know, he loved Broadway. We were always talking about different shows. He loved to read. He was very, very active politically. Just a really different just a different cat in an NFL locker room.
And you'll hear all that in about 15 minutes. Right now we check in with our doctor, our friend from Cooper Bone and Joint, Dr. David Gelt. How are you this weekend, Doc?
Pretty good. I just want to let you know, Ray, that my son was finishing up his candy from Halloween, and he came up to me and said, Mounds is such a great candy bar.
There you go. There you go, Ray. Proof positive.
Okay, don't just tell me.
He's 12, too.
All right. Just tell me he doesn't like Almond Joys, okay? I'll maybe cut him a little slack on Mounds, but not Almond Joys.
I'll have to ask him.
Doc, okay. Ray, the Gelt family comes through for me.
Oh, there you go.
I'm going to actually ask Dr. Gelt our James Bond question in a moment, but I know you have a actual medical question for the doctor.
Yeah, Doc, I was going to ask you about Bradley Chubb, who's was a terrific player at North Carolina State, was first-round draft pick. The Broncos brought him in with the idea that he was going to play on one side of the defense and Von Miller was going to play on the other, and that was going to be their pass rush for the next decade. And it's just been one thing after another with Brad Chubb. And he's right now he's out. He's had surgery for a bone spur in his left ankle. 2 years ago, he had surgery to remove a bone spur from his right ankle. And in between, he tore his ACL in 2019. Bottom line here is he has missed 21 games in the last 3 years. So I guess what I would ask you from a medical standpoint is, a guy has a medical chart like that, is that just bad luck, or is there something else at work here?
Well, definitely is a red flag if you constantly have the injuries to the ankles or repetitive ankle injuries. And then once you have surgery and you have repeat surgeries, it's even more of a red flag, so you have to be concerned about that. Unfortunately, maybe bad luck and fluke injuries, and then just on the injuries, he just has compounding issues and just repetitive injuries from that. So it's tough luck for him.
Yeah, I mean, a torn ACL can happen to anybody on any play. We all understand that. But having bone spurs on one ankle, and then 2 years later he has bone spurs on the other ankle, I just wonder if one leads to the other, if it's a structural thing, or if I'm just wondering, or if it's just a coincidence.
Yeah, I mean, it can be. If he has some issues with bone spurs or tight heel cords or an injury where he has tendonitis, and it can affect the way he's walking and his gait, and he puts more stress on the other side, so you can have that type of issue. And also, just because of the sport, sometimes you just land wrong or have an awkward injury, and then you're stuck with that. But it's a tough situation for him.
All right, one more question for you. Doc, are you a James Bond fan? You watch James Bond movies?
I do watch. I haven't watched all of them, but I have watched some.
You've seen enough that you know the different guys who've played you. All right.
Sure.
Best James Bond ever was who, according to Dr. Gelt?
Sean Connery.
All right, thank you. There you go, right? So far, easy.
We're all in agreement.
Right,
okay.
Three of us agree. Now, here comes the thing. The second best James Bond ever was?
I like Roger Moore.
Thank you. Dr. Gelt.
The new guy, Craig, he's not bad, too. I haven't seen the last one.
The asked and answered, Craig. He said, Roger Moore, we're going with that.
All right.
Dr. Gelt, you're a genius.
All right, guys.
Always appreciate it. There you go, Ray. I'm going. Are you going to doubt a man with a medical degree on that issue?
Yes.
Okay. I have to tell you, Ray, I have an infatuation now that is hard for me to overcome.
Okay.
All right.
This happens to you a lot.
I know. There is a punter now on San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Matt Ariaza, and he this season is breaking. He's like the punter the world has waited for. He has two punts over 80 yards this year, and I'm not talking about something that goes 40 yards and then rolls in the wind.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about they go off his foot like a satellite. He has 15 punts over 60 yards, Ray.
Wow.
Allow me to play you just one. Here you go.
Matt Ariza is maybe the best punter in the country, and he gets into this one. This is an absolute huge punt. Wow. It lands at the 18. It rolls to the 14, down to the 12. My goodness. He hit an 86-yarder last week. That's 81 yards by Ariza. All-American. This is 81 yards, and he didn't really get much of a roll.
Ray,
I brought announcers really excited about the punting game.
And I am too.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Ariza.
Uh-huh.
San Diego State, Ray.
Yeah.
Eagles have, 11 draft picks?
Football factory out there.
Yeah, well, okay. Marshall Faulk. Eagles. I don't know who else. Who else you got?
I can't think of one.
Well, Marshall Faulk. Come on. Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. All right. How many draft picks the Eagles have? Like a million, right? They always have a thousand. And then trade up, trade down.
You know, Howie'll wheel and deal. And yeah. He'll wind up with 16 or 17
draft picks. I'll give you six donuts for four bagels. I know. I know how this all works, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere within that, is there the opportunity to draft the greatest punter in the history of football?
Wait a
guy
minute.
That makes Ray Guy look like nothing.
I was going to say, you got one punter that's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, you're going to have two down the road, Ray. Matt Araiza, 86 yards without a roll. How about that? You heard the broadcast?
Yeah.
This guy, I'm shocked that you're not aware, because this guy, there is a buzz about this guy nationally.
There is.
Scouts are coming with binoculars. 36 GMs, which there are only 32 teams, but you know they were at their last game, San Diego State versus Fresno. I don't know who they play. Huh?
Well,
what do you think? Can we do it?
I don't know. Sippus has been pretty good.
Sippus, I know, but sometimes,
I mean, he's not going to win you a steak dinner, and you're ready to give him the bum's rush.
You know what it is, and I know you're not on the internet, but a lot of our audience will understand this. There is a meme that has been popular for the last couple of years, and it's a guy's walking arm in arm down the street with his girlfriend, and he's looking appreciatively at another girl walking by, and you see the look on his girlfriend's face that she realizes it.
Right.
Yeah, that's me with Sippus and Ariza. I have Sippus on my arm. It's fine for the role, and then I see Ariza, and it's like, or Ariza, not even sure how you pronounce it. That's my guy, Ray.
He is, huh?
That's my guy, Ray. That's my Ray guy.
See how that works?
There you go. All right.
Well, we'll see.
All right.
I mean, if he is all that, I mean, somebody will draft him. I mean, kickers do get drafted.
Yeah, well, watch. And change the game, Ray. 86-yard punts routinely.
Well, check with me on day three of the draft. Okay?
All right, that's fine.
I don't think he's going to go in round one, two, or three.
No, I don't need that. I need a little six-round pick.
Ray Guy was a first rounder. Remember that?
Yeah, well, I do. And there are also a couple of kickers drafted in the first round, none of which really worked out, but there you have it. All right, I will. Coming up, we have a really fun Tell Us Your Story. Stan Walters played 9 seasons for the Eagles, left tackle on a team that went to the Super Bowl, a couple of Pro Bowls, very fun and smart guy, and then spent 14 years in the booth with Merrill Reese, where I appreciated Stan's passion, his knowledge, and his humor, as I know Merrill did as well. That's coming up next. Ray and Glenn, brought to you by the Casino at Delaware Park. Watch and wager on all pro and college sports at the Delaware Park Sportsbook. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. Must be 21 to play.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.